Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers. Hello, everyone. Today, we've got our special podcast, and who has been on our podcast before is...
Jessica Keller.
Welcome.
That's me.
Welcome, Jessica.
So Jessica, thanks for coming on again. Do you want to introduce yourself very briefly for people that missed you last time?
Yeah, so I've been recruiting for English language teachers and actually now other different subject teachers for both Asia and in the US for the last 13 years.
And before that, you were an English teacher and a manager and a regional manager and all those
yes,
kind of things
I
in Japan, right?
Yes, I did start as a teacher in Japan.
So something happened at work to me fairly recently that I wanted to mention to you guys. So we were talking about kids taking English lessons for about 2 hours a week. And this person said to me that our school's competitors all tell parents, if your kid studies with us, they'll sound like a native speaker after about 2 years.
Wow.
And I thought, like, that's just a lie. And he yeah. said, right, like a blatant lie. And he said, well, we have to do that because that's what our competitors do, so we don't really have a choice. And I thought, well, like, surely that's going to lead to so many other problems. And anyway, it reminded me of this quote that I heard from Sam Harris, who, if you've not listened to him before, you should check out his Waking Up podcast.
It's amazing to me. We have to get back to a place where being out of harmony with what is demonstrably true pays a penalty.
Right.
And the value we have to all embrace is we have to care to be in register to the truth. And we have to care that, especially we have to care when people who are in power, whose decisions affect the lives of millions, we have to care when they're in register or out of register with what's true.
Yeah, so today I thought we could talk a bit about lying and like how lying sort of comes into language teaching, you know, recruitment, Jessica, which you're an expert in teaching and training and management and all those things.
So what the main areas today we're going to talk about lying?
Well, I think we can talk about when we lie and then how we can maybe lie less or at least be more honest.
Right. It's and I think especially in sales, it's not, I mean, because the nature of sales and recruitment for that matter is also just, of course, trying to get people to buy into something. So having, you know, a situation where you're trying to sell the benefits of something as opposed to being, you know, listing all the negatives and all the positives, we don't necessarily think of that as lying all the time. But if you're openly leaving information out, then yeah, it can be really deceptive.
So let's first of all talk about lying to students and then maybe how we can lie less. And then secondly,
and we're going to talk about lying to our teachers and how honest we are in teacher training and management. And then last,
also about lying to ourselves.
Great. So let's talk about lying to students then. Like when you, Tracy, when you taught adults before, what did you feel maybe that people weren't honest about or teachers are not honest about with students?
I think when the teacher is trying to give students some feedback, especially with adult learners, and you have to make sure, you know, how much corrective feedback you are giving them because they don't want to lose face in front of other classmates. And even though they made a mistake, so you have to make sure, oh yeah, really good and well done. But actually they didn't do a very good job.
I mean, I guess it depends. Like if you praise someone maybe for like trying something, I guess that's honest. But I have seen a teacher say, oh, like how else could you say X? And the student says something that's completely wrong and go, and then the teacher says, yeah, well done. That's great. You could still say, oh, like, thanks for trying or, you know, oh, that's interesting, but not quite.
But yeah, or good try, but here's what it actually is or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think you're not giving them a lot of help by telling them they're right when they're actually wrong.
Yeah. Well, and also I think, you know, to the original point you had about sales, if you're setting an expectation to the parents that the kids are going to sound like native speakers and then the kids have that pressure, then obviously they're going to be manufacturing and trying to live up to some expectation that's not really realistic. So it almost sort of encourages a lie in some ways. And the teachers also for maybe passing them along.
I think that maybe we do have a bit of a lie in general that's like language learning is we make language learning out to be a lot easier mm-hmm. than it actually is. I think at schools often we'll paint a picture for students that's a lot more optimistic than mm. Than it actually should.
Mm, I think that's a really good point, actually, because if you just look at the people who can speak fluent foreign language, mm-hmm. and they definitely put a lot of effort, and it's not just 1 year. For example, I studied English for 29 years, maybe? Yeah, 29 yeah. years. I still made mistakes.
Yeah.
Mm. I have a friend who's sending her daughter overseas for 4 weeks. And her daughter is taking 1 year of high school language study. And my friend is convinced her daughter's going to be fluent. And I'm like,
after a year?
After 1 year of high school study and then 4 weeks overseas.
Wow.
And she's like, well, it'll be really intensive. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, maybe, right? Yeah. Like, I'd love to be wrong on that. But it's like that. I think people have, again, these expectations mm-hmm. mm. that it's going to be easy to do.
That's so mm. interesting. I wonder where that comes from.
I think sales is partly yeah. the play, right?
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I also wanted to mention here something about, like, how honest are we to students about what people actually say? So Jake Whidden, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, he was telling me about, he hung out with his daughter for the whole summer. And he said, I watched my daughter play with dozens of different kids, and never once did I hear her say hello or how are you in either English or Chinese. And I thought, oh, that's so interesting. Like, the first thing that we teach, you know, all the most mm-hmm. important thing that you can learn in English is hello, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. And you? And the majority of people that we teach those phrases to are kids. But actually, kids don't say that.
I think I partially agree with that. I always hear like foreigners talking to Chinese kids, if the kids can speak English, mm-hmm. and they always say, hi, what's your name? How are you?
That argument is self-justifying in that the only reason they ask them those questions is because they know that's what they've been taught in school. Like, I see your point, but mm-hmm. I think with that, those are interactions between adults and kids. And for kids, the majority of interactions they will be with other kids. And I think what someone really needs to do somewhere mm-hmm. is make up a corpus and find out for children and find out what the kids actually say to each other, what language do kids mm-hmm. actually use. And then we could maybe actually start teaching children some language that's going to mm-hmm. be genuinely useful to them right now, as opposed to learning a bunch of stuff that when they grow up, they'll be able to use in 15 years' time.
Fair enough.
So let's talk about lying to teachers. Like, one of the reasons that I was very motivated to leave a previous job was I found out that the marketing department that marketed to teachers, they actually online have a much higher salary on their online advertisements than their first year teachers mm-hmm. actually get. And that, to me, struck me as being so dishonest. I was much more serious about finding a job somewhere else. But what do you think is the argument as a business or as a school why you wouldn't do that?
Why you wouldn't lie about the salary?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's something you can pretty easily punch a hole through. Mm. And you don't want to be a dishonest company, because as much as you want to get people on board and you want people to be interested in your job more than any other job, if you're known in the industry for being dishonest, then that's going to come through mm-hmm. pretty quickly. Because if you advertise a salary of a certain amount and then, you know, you get a job offer that's significantly lower than that, you're going to feel pretty disappointed, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how honest do you think schools should be when they're hiring teachers? Like, because like you're saying, if you do want to sell the benefits, obviously, more than the disadvantages, but equally, you have to talk about some disadvantages, right, in order to be kind of transparent and to, you know, give people an accurate picture of what life's going to be like.
For example,
yeah,
I've had jobs in the past that I've recruited for that have split days off or split shifts in the salary.
Ah.
I haven't put that in the job advertisement, but I'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, right. I think the advertisement is an advertisement, but the interview is when you can get into those parts of it, right?
Well, I mean, and admittedly, like, I know people will be less drawn to an ad if they see it, but it's easier just to have a conversation and it's less concrete.
One other thing that I wanted to mention here related to sort of lying to teachers and being honest to teachers is I used to work with someone who thought that the best way to give feedback to a teacher who had a complaint was to tell them, oh, hey, Jessica, I observed your class. I thought it was absolutely perfect and there was nothing wrong with it at all. Well done. You're such a great employee. By the way, you might want to read about error correction. That might be something you'd be interested in learning about. And this person thought that would be the best way of getting those people that, for example, have a problem with error correction or going to complain about not correcting enough errors. That would be the best way to get them to improve. Like, do you not think you're denying that person some avenue for development? Or there's some important information that that person has a right to know?
Yeah, I am certainly glad that when I was a teacher, and it was a while ago, but when I was, that I received feedback on complaints. Because lying about something that they've received, I think, is also deceptive and kind of condescending. Like, yeah, we can't tell you about this information because we're afraid you might crack, right? Like,
right, like, how weak do we assume that people are, that they can't handle any, and again, not even direct criticism, just passing on of something negative.
Well, and it also could be that manager's, like, fear of conflict, right? Mm. Like, it could be their own thing.
Last one, lying to ourselves. Something I wondered with teacher training that we could do to be more honest about it is follow up with people like a long time after the training. I think that we often, in teacher training courses, like, we measure the success by how well the teachers meet our own standards on the course. Whereas I think what we need to do more on that is like call people up 6 months later or a year later and go like, how did this help you find a job or improve in your job or get promoted?
Or did it help you?
Yeah, or did it help you at all? Yeah, because maybe it didn't.
Well, and to that, it's the same with, in interviews and recruiting, we think we have a really good idea of this person. And I do think generally we do, but we have to remember it's not an exact science, because I remember hiring someone that I was like, no, I didn't even hire him. I took him over from another recruiter.
Yeah.
And I helped him with the last stages of his arrival. And I was like, this guy's going to be a complete failure. And he completed his contract.
Wow.
And he was eligible for rehire.
Wow.
Which blew me away, because he was not someone who I would have wanted to work with. And then there's people who I thought would be great and they didn't even last probation. So.
But that's something I think that you do that's really great in recruiting, is you find out the results afterwards.
Right.
Right? It's not just like, we hired this guy and I thought he would be okay and that's the end of it. Like, you have this great system where you hire people and then you can find out if they lasted 6 months or a year or if they got promoted or what happened. And I think that's it's not just, it's an amazing tool, but I think, you know, as like you as a recruiter, you do an amazing job of getting that feedback and then sort of plugging that information back into the system to help you make even better decisions in the future. Like, did you not for a while, like when someone got fired, right, that you hired, did you not go back to your interview notes or get your staff to go back to your interview notes and go like, well, what did you miss?
And we still do that. We look at anybody who fails probation and we look at what happened, right? But yeah, no, we definitely analyze. It's a post-mortem, I guess.
Yeah. But imagine that we did that with training as well. We did a post-mortem like a year later. Like,
it's not like if this teacher fails, it's a fault of the training.
Yeah. I was more getting at the idea that what the course teaches as good teaching is different from the reality of what schools expect. And I think that there is a value in a training course like sort of teaching excellence or something, right, as we see it. But also there's got to be a part of this. It's just like, we're preparing you to go and get a job and be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But if the skills that we're teaching you, or we're missing out some skills that actually are going to help you, you know, succeed in a sort of a semi-corporate school environment or whatever environment you're going into, then maybe we're missing out on something there.
True. Yeah.
Jessica, thanks again very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back and can't wait for my next trip up here.
Yay.
Oh, great.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
For more podcasts, videos, and blogs, visit our website, www.tefltraininginstitute.com.
If you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, leave us a comment.
And if you want to keep up to date with our latest content, add us on WeChat at TEFL Training Institute.
And if you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes.